The state's advising that schools across Maine can consider reopening their classrooms this fall if they follow certain guidelines. The state unveiled its new advisory system for schools and has classified all 16 counties as green, suggesting there's relatively low risk of COVID-19 spread. But those classifications don't mean all schools will reopen, and many still face lots of challenges before they can bring kids back to class. Robbie Feinberg's here with more details. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Nora.
So first, can you talk us through today's announcement from the state?
Yeah, sure. So under this new system for determining whether it's safe for schools to reopen, the state is using several pieces of public health data, like COVID-19 cases and positivity rates, and is using those to label each county as either green, yellow, or red. And green means low risk and that in-person classes can be considered. Red means there's a high risk of COVID-19, so to stay with remote learning. And then yellow means an elevated risk, so schools could implement a hybrid model of the two instead. And today, the big announcement was that every county in the state was designated as green. So the state is saying that districts can at least consider fully reopening schools this fall, though they need to follow many state requirements in order to do so.
Yeah, were schools expecting every county to be designated green? That was very surprising.
Yeah, some school leaders were surprised too, particularly because we are still seeing, you know, dozens of new cases every day, especially in southern Maine. But officials from the Maine CDC and DHHS explained that when looking at public health data everywhere in Maine, even, you know, counties like Cumberland and York, they're generally looking better than the picture of the virus that we're seeing nationally. And Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah explained that a green designation doesn't necessarily mean that schools need to rush into reopening.
The green here is not like the green light at a drag strip. It does not mean you push your feet on the accelerator and go as fast as possible. The green light here is really more like the green light at like a car wash, right? You enter slowly, you look around you with caution, and you be prepared to stop at any time. That's really the way in which these designations are offered. They're cautionary so that school administrators have all the information from an epidemiological perspective as they're making their decisions on the ground.
So with all counties getting that green light, do we think that all schools are actually going to reopen fully?
Not quite. The reopening decision ultimately lies with local districts, and it's important to note that they have to meet several new requirements by the state if they want to reopen. Masks are required for staff and students over 2. Symptom checks are also required, and then there's social distancing of at least 3 feet for kids and 6 feet for adults. And then there are other recommendations, too. There's, you know, limiting space on buses, changing how food is served so students aren't all gathered together, plus new protocols for disinfecting areas and even directing traffic in hallways. And so that's all clearly a lot more for schools to adapt to, and it brings up a lot of questions, like do schools have enough buses and bus drivers to transport kids? And the state's teaching force is also, you know, relatively older and more at risk, so will we even have enough teachers and substitutes who can come into classrooms? And as one example, Elaine Boulier, the superintendent of MSAD 42 in Mars Hill, she told me yesterday that the 2 schools in her district didn't have the space to spread out 20 students per classroom when they all need to be at least 3 feet apart.
You know, that's still a lot of space when you're talking 20 kids and in a classroom. And we don't have, in either building, we don't have, here in Mars Hill, we don't have a lot of extra spaces either. We can't take half of a large class and put half of them in the gym. We have a finite number of teachers as well.
So Boulier says that because of the lack of space, her district is planning to start slow with a hybrid plan where half the students will go in the morning and the other half will go in the afternoon.
I know where I live in southern Maine, and I imagine in a lot of districts around here, there are a lot of parents who are still very concerned about sending their kids back to school, especially with more new COVID cases every day.
Yeah, this is a big concern. I mean, I'll give you one example. I saw recent survey results from Biddeford schools, and more than 15% of parents said that they didn't feel comfortable having their children return in the fall. And that's part of the reason why some districts are looking at giving parents a bit more choice. Bangor Superintendent Betsy Webb says that her district is planning to go in-person 5 days a week instruction for any family who does want that, which is about 60%. But she says about 13% of families want to continue learning remotely, which they will be allowed to do.
We know that the vast majority of our students will be in person, but we also will run simultaneously other options because we know families have different needs. whether that's medical conditions or it's comfort. We really wanted to make sure that we could be as accommodating as possible.
Now that this guidance is out there from the state, what happens next?
So the biggest steps going forward will likely be on the local level. Many districts have already released their own reopening plans, and with this guidance, many others will likely be releasing theirs going forward. But what is important to remember, too, is that the virus can change. So we've obviously seen spikes in other states and even outbreaks here, and state officials touched on this today, and they said it's why all of these county classifications will be reconsidered every 2 weeks, so that if it does become unsafe for students to go to school, these advisories will change.
That's Maine Public Radio reporter Robbie Feinberg. Thanks so much, Robbie.
Thank you, Nora.